Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
So it's not a sin in your church to have an abortion?
That's the kind of conversation we would have, finding out your story, where you're from. God's the judge. People have to live to their own conviction.
The science is clear. The Bible is clear. And if we're honest, our intuitions are clear. We know what we're killing. We're killing a human being.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Remember the good old days? This is Wretched Radio. Perhaps you recall, because it wasn't that long ago, many Christians consternated. I tell you, they were consternated about for whom they should vote for the presidential election. Remember those good old days when it was just Trump versus Clinton? Seems like child's play, courtesy of one Bruce Jenner, who is running for governor of the lovely state, formerly lovely state of California, as a Republican. You and I could be locked in a crack house for 6 months, consuming nothing but Drano in our veins, and we would not write something as fantastic as this. A man who believes that he is a woman, who presents or tries to present himself as such, is running as a conservative. Well, at least with his fiscal policies, not so much the social agenda. And right now in California, because of the recall election, many Christians are scratching their heads going, now what do we do? You and I would do well to understand biblically how it is we should even view these things. It is my opinion that we bring much of history to the table. We're not used to this. This is foreign to us. We used to have the choice between two individuals, and this needs to be defined rightly, but two individuals who were, in a sense, righteous in that they fit into the norms of society. They weren't beating their wife and children. They were presumably paying their taxes. Well, increasingly, we are seeing men and women fall outside of those lines. And now, Christians in California have a choice between a guy who is rather imperious, would love to control your life, who appears to be more than content to let socialism win the day as the streets continue to be filled up with people. They don't need a choice. They need help. The homeless need so much help. And the current governor is willing to just let them live on the streets, which causes a mess for the peoples whose streets their homes are on. Let me just try that sentence structure again. And it's not good for the homeless people themselves, versus Bruce Jenner, who presents himself now as Caitlyn Jenner. How is a Christian to think it through? I would like to offer for you a number of considerations that literally need to be put on a scale. It seems to me weight is the deciding factor in this little Christian conundrum. How do you weigh these issues? Because different Christians are going to weigh them differently. Different Christians are going to look at that and go, yeah, well, yeah, that's important, but this one. And they're going to weigh that more, and that likely means they're going to come up with a different opinion than you do. And we're seeing that already. Not many people are talking about this issue yet. Oh, they will be. And I've already noticed different Christians are spanning everything from not a chance to, well, you know, there's your choice. Vote for the one who will advance the most righteousness. The end. Simple. No problem. And everybody in between. And yet we have for ourselves, if nothing else, another opportunity for the Christian church to divide. Because we weigh things differently. We put a different amount of tonnage into a particular category. Here are a number of them. Where do you weigh the heaviest? That will determine what you will do regarding Bruce Jenner versus Gavin Newsom. By the way, you don't live in California and you think, whoo, dodge that bullet. Give it time. Won't be long. Your state, the nation, this will rise to the federal level. If you've ever wanted to see an historic moment in American history when the historians look back and go, yeah, that was a big deal. Bruce Jenner running for governor is a big deal. It is a historical talking point. What our country, at least what California, which is basically its own country, has decided to do, it will hit you eventually. And so we would all do well to think through, how does the Christian view politics when you have two choices that are, well, not to your liking? Category number one, the lesser of two evils. Simple as that. Yeah, well, they're both crummy. And so which one is the least crummiest? Which I don't think should be a superlative if it's less than. But I'm just caught in my own little grammatical world. Which one is worse? Then vote for the other one. Because somebody's going to win. Now, you've got other Christians who would go, I can't do that. I can't stand that. They fall into another category. And the response of the lesser of two evils camp would be, well, somebody's going to win. Don't you want to be able to participate in that? And that would be the response to people who are like, I can't pinch my nose that intensely. I'm sorry, I'll pass out if I have to do that. I've done it before, but this is just a bridge too far. The lesser of two evils would say, you're going to be on one bridge or the other. Why not participate? How much do you weigh that argument? Another category would be the principles over political victories column. No, I don't care about the pragmatic view they might call the lesser of two evils view. I can't vote for political expediency. I have to vote based on principle. And that means if you've got somebody who's a socialist pro-abort on the one hand, by the way, we'll get into Bruce's policies, but right now, we don't know where he stands on the life issue. He's called himself socially liberal, which should be a hint. Sean Hannity failed to ask him that question when he had him on for an hour. Where are you at on the life issue? Apparently, that wasn't of interest last Wednesday night. At any rate, principle over political victories is indeed a category where a lot of people are going to find themselves. Yeah, okay, so a bad guy's going to win. I can't sell out. I can't figure out a way on my Christian chess table to get this sorted out and have it make sense. It's just too much for me. I have got to vote on principle. And that would mean for some, they're either going to write in a candidate who doesn't have a chance to win, which, by the way, the lesser of two evils people would say, see, why you're just wasting it anyway. But the principle over political victories person would say, no, it's not about who's going to win. It's about what is right in the voting booth. And furthermore, they would also say that if somebody is so immoral at that point, it just doesn't matter. It's all going to be bad anyway. They pick principle over political victories. That weighs heavily for the Christian. Now, we've made our way through two categories. I have more. Can you already see how different Christians are going to come up with different decisions? The principle over political victories, people, they're going to write somebody in or gasp for the lesser of two evils person. They're not going to vote at all. I did a little George Barna polling without George Barna. When this issue was texted to me, you can thank Jimmy for this. This is your fault.
What did I do?
You sent me this thing about Bruce Jenner running for governor.
Oh, okay. Did I?
So I started sending it out to friends. How do you work through this issue? What's your take on this? And wow, did I get a variety of responses. And I don't know a liberal. I don't even... In my little Rolodex, whatever you call it these days on the cell phone business, I don't know anybody liberal. And I had a variety of opinions from the lesser of two evils to the principal over political victory saying, we're just not going to vote. That's all there is to it. There's another category that needs to be considered. Those who would say if you vote for somebody like Bruce Jenner, you're endorsing that lifestyle. You are basically saying to the world, yeah, this is okay because he's going to put a government stamp of approval on what is a Romans 1 issue. Furthermore, and this would be a slightly different category, somebody would say, despite what the DSM-5 says, this is mental illness. We're talking about somebody who is so detached from reality, he doesn't realize he's a male. And they just can't vote for that person. There's another column. There's another category. The government realm, it's just not that important. Jesus is building his kingdom. Whatever. Let the pagans rage and roil. I want nothing to do with this. I'm out. Big deal. It's all coming down anyway. There are people who are going to say, that is my column that weighs the heaviest. And then finally, of course, you've got the conscience column. I just can't. I feel like I'm endorsing sin. I can't put any sort of stamp of approval on it because I feel like I'm sinning. And for that particular column, you should not do what violates your conscience. No matter what arguments you hear, if you're not persuaded, never override your conscience. It's never wise to do that. Question. Lesser of two evils, principle over political victories, endorsing a sinful lifestyle, endorsing mental illness. This stuff just doesn't matter. Whichever one you weigh the most will be the determining factor in whether or not you vote for Bruce Jenner. This is Wretched Radio.
Hey, it's another day, and it's another Wretched Radio. Hey, thank you for being here today. Listen, did you know that the third leading cause of death among millennials is suicide? That's right, it's true. Millennials are struggling. They're anxious, they're depressed, they're suicidal, and ultimately, they're lost, which is why Road Trip to Truth was created. Millennial John Fabares takes to the road to help tackle some of the issues millennials are struggling with today. Why is there evil in the world? Is Jesus really God? What are the supposed errors in the Bible, and many other questions are asked and answered on Road Trip to Truth. So don't miss out. Get your copy of Season 1 of Road Trip to Truth right now. It's just one more reason to support Wretched. Visit wretched.org/donate to support Wretched or text the word Wretched to the number 44321. Road Trip to Truth, available right now at roadtriptotruth.org. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Another amazing story from Eastern Europe. Tomorrow clubs.
One of the kids that came, I was a 12-year-old girl, you know, her parents were both alcoholics. The leader said, well, you know, why don't you invite your mother to come? She started coming, and at first it was really just to get gifts for her younger kids who had been taken away from her, but, you know, she'd come, and she'd hear little pieces of the gospel, and she'd feel the love of the leaders that were there. She started drinking a little bit less, and started coming to the church, and then the church started trying to help them, and they'd go to visit the home, and the father, I mean, he was just a hopeless alcoholic who really couldn't even leave the house. Believe it or not, even the father stopped drinking, and now the whole family has come to the Lord. Now this family operates the Tomorrow Club.
If you'd like to hear more stories like that, and who of us wouldn't, please support your own Tomorrow Club. $30 a month, 30 disciples in Eastern Europe. Visit tomorrowclubs.org/wretched, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Did you know Wretched has a brand new Bible study curriculum? Tell the truth, you didn't know. But now you do because I just told you. And listen, this Bible study curriculum is not like any that you've ever encountered. The new Wretched Bible studies are interesting. They're relevant. And of course, if they're coming from Wretched, you know they're biblical. They're based on our resources, Drive by Marriage, Drive by Parenting, Drive by Theology, Herman Who, Jesus Unmasked, Stressed Out, It's Not Greek to Me, and Road Trip to Truth. You're going to find something that's perfect for your youth group, your adult small group, and even your own personal study at home. So if you're tired of the same old, boring, wretched Bible studies, then get yourself a Wretched Bible Study. Check all of them out right now by visiting wretched.org/study. That's wretched.org/study. I promise you're going to be pleased, and you're going to wonder to yourself, why in the world did they not do this sooner? Wretched.org/study.
Revelation. How can anyone know God unless he reveals himself? If God did not speak, religion would be nothing more than man's best guess. But God has revealed himself in creation, in the Bible, and in the person of Jesus Christ. We can know God, and we can be brought into right standing with him.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
You and I are playing chess. God is playing 5D chess. This is Wretched Radio. You and I perhaps are studying, pondering, scratching our noggins what to do regarding the California election, whether you live in that fair state or not. What will I do when confronted with two bad choices, which is what we see with Bruce Jenner and Gavin Newsom? Two bad choices for different reasons. Bruce is more on the conservative side fiscally. Gavin is, well, getting recalled. Should tell you something in California. You will be making this decision eventually. And if we fail to look at this on a deeper level, then we're just playing chess, because that is what I think we have a tendency to do. All right, I've got to figure out which one of my columns, which weight is heaviest for me. Am I a lesser of two evils person, principle over political expediency? Do I feel like I'm endorsing a wicked sin, mental illness, the government realm? Who cares? Big deal. Jesus said his kingdom is not of this world. Whatever one weighs heaviest is probably the way that you are going to make a decision on for whom to vote, if you're going to vote at all. But let's not stay on the political chess table. Let's go deeper. Because God is working on different realms and different levels. And while we want to make sure that we don't sound like we don't love this country, the truth of the matter is this country, in God's scheme of things, just a blip, blip. This election, this latest candidate saying this dopey thing, just trivial. Small, puny. It's not entirely irrelevant, because it's life. It's the way that he made the world. But he's operating on a different level. Jesus did indeed say that his kingdom is not of this world. And that means when you and I see something going on in the political kingdom realm, let's not forget there's a deeper level here. What can we learn from what God is doing on the level of politics? What can we get? Because we know that he's getting at something deeper. Because God is not trying to rig the 2022 election. He's already got that predetermined, by the way. But he's not, okay, well, wait a second. Okay, Bruce Jenner and the Gavin, and he gets recalled, and then, like he's some sort of political strategist. Like he should be a guest on Fox News to pontificate with who's going to win and what this issue means and the significance of this action. None of it. Doing deeper things. He's doing something with the nations, which he has the right to do anytime he wants to. And he's also doing something with the church. What could the implication of this be if the American church starts to struggle? What will be the implication globally for the church? There will be a power center someplace. There always has been historically in Christendom. Early on, of course, you could say that the power place was Jerusalem, but quickly that changed and it spread and it grew. We see influence coming out of Egypt. A lot of the early church fathers, Egyptian. Don't know if you were aware of that, but that was the power center. That's where big things were decided and the heavy hitters lived. But then we see it moved, of course. Rome started to grow. Oh, wait a second. Don't forget about the Eastern Orthodox offshoot. Then Byzantium with their little power center. Wait a second. It didn't really stay in Rome, did it? Along came a Protestant Reformation, and all of a sudden you've got power centers in different locations. Germany was probably the biggie at the time, courtesy of Martin Luther and other reformers. But then where did it go? England. England became the power center of the church. And this is where you see the Puritans and the Pietists, for better or for worse. You see power in England. Then, of course, you see it, the church power, the big production center being America, and it's been that way now for decades. If God is stopping that, where's it going to go? And are we keeping an eye on it to assist and aid it? Let's not fail to consider the level of the church as God is moving pieces around many tables, the least of which, frankly, is the political table. But what about your table? What about you? What about me? What is God doing for me and for you in this movement that we are seeing going on in our country where it's like, whoa, are things changing fast here? And by the way, that's worthy of note of everybody around the globe because of the weight of America currently. It's going to affect, it's going to ripple. Everybody feels it when America gets a sneezes, then the world catches a cold. What is the Lord doing or trying to do, if you will, in your life? Question. Is it possible that maybe, just maybe, your priorities and affections are changing? That you are increasingly less interested in the crazy chaos that is known as politics and more interested in the kingdom of God? Is it possible that your attachment, my attachment, to things is getting a little looser? It's not quite as firm as it once was because, wow, it's clear this stuff is fading away. What I thought was a rock, my culture, Western civilization, representative republic, is crumbling. Oh, no, I got to find another rock. Could it be that God is causing the political rock in the West to crumble so that we get on his rock? And that we are focusing on what he's most interested in? Is it possible? When this news broke, courtesy of Jimmy, that Bruce Jenner is running for governor in California, I sent out a text to everybody and I said, tell me three considerations that you have regarding this issue. How would you work through this bad boy? I must have sent that request out to 10, 12 people, maybe 15 people. One of them responded rightly. Would you like to know who it is? That's right. Phil Johnson did his homework. He literally, this is a text. It's a little long. It's a text. 1, 2, 3. He actually answered it the way that it was requested. Here was my text. You live in California. Bruce Jenner is on the ballot. How do you process through this issue? What are your three guiding thoughts? Thank you, Phil. 1 from Phil Johnson. Christians in America almost never have a righteous person to vote for anymore. That should remind us that we simply, all caps, cannot put our trust in men, least of all politicians. Have you learned that yet? Is that what God is doing in this for you as he plays 5D chess? 2. From Phil Johnson. I can still vote for whoever's policies are least likely to accelerate the moral downgrade of our culture, but... So, it would appear, Phil, if I can speak for him, which is a bad idea, he seems like a lesser of two evils. Whichever one is going to forward the most righteousness, which is just the converse way of looking at the lesser of two evils, it's looking at it a little more positively, he seems to fall in that camp, but look at how he rushes to the conjunction. But... we mustn't make the mistake of thinking any politician's policies, much less the man himself, can save us. Question. As God plays 5D chess in your life, in your world, is he teaching you then that politicians are not going to save us from what is going on in our society? Perhaps you would respond, well, they're making the mess. They're the ones that are responsible for the tearing down of everything. Yep. But it is not going to be a politician who can save us from this mess. People need to get saved before they're going to start thinking and voting better. That's the order of things. Is God teaching you that? 3 from Phil Johnson. Believers should resist any temptation to become partisan activists in the realm of secular politics. I agree. I recently saw, I'm sure it's well-intentioned, a group of Christians get together because they wanted to battle something in Washington. And so it was press released, Christians gather to fight this issue. Why does it have to be Christian? Why don't you just do it? If that's what you want to do and serve the Lord and that combat, do that. But when you put the name Christian on it, it suddenly says, we're political. We're a pack. And this is a political issue, and that has implications for the gospel. Back to Phil Johnson. Believers should resist any temptation to become partisan activists in the realms of secular politics, heralding unregenerate politicians as if they were the saviors we need. Nice subjunctive use, Phil. If Christians don't have confidence in the gospel and zero confidence in horses and men or partisan political strategies, then our faith is sinfully misplaced. That is a lesson that you and I can learn. One last lesson from Phil. The fact that Bruce Jenner is a leading candidate on the conservative side is one of several incontestable proofs that American culture is irretrievably wicked. Short of a spiritual revival, the nation is headed for catastrophic disaster. Some might argue we're already there. What is the lesson that God is teaching you as he plays 5D chess? This is Wretched Radio.
An apostle is a messenger sent from God. The apostles were granted power and authority to establish the New Testament church. There are no apostles living today, but just as the early church dedicated themselves to the apostles' teachings, so we dedicate ourselves to their teachings, which have been recorded in the New Testament. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
I've always been a dreamer.
And he's not the only one. Hello, this is Wretched Radio. That was the voice of Bruce Jenner, who is running for governor of California. No! Change the subject! This is a big deal. This is a big story. If Bruce Jenner were running as a Democrat, we'd probably all go, yeah, that makes sense. That's not the case. He has a genuine shot of being the Republican nominee to run against the Gavin Newsom recall election, and he could be the governor of California. The implications for that, yeah, they're kind of big. That you've got somebody who's running, what is it, the seventh largest nation, at least economy, in the world, is a man who thinks he's a woman. That's big. When historians write about the demise of our country, this is going to be included. I'm quite certain of it. And what makes this a big conundrum for Christians is not just the big historical moment, but Bruce Jenner's campaign. Would like for you to listen to a video that Bruce Jenner put out announcing his campaign that he's running. It's getting a fair amount of traction. And I got to tell you something. This is going to cause a lot of Christians to go,
I've always been a dreamer.
California was once the envy of the world. We had what everyone else wanted.
Sounds like Ronald Reagan, doesn't it?
The American dream grew up here.
Sounds like Ronald Reagan, doesn't it?
Yet career politicians and their policies have destroyed that dream.
Sounds like... Okay, we get the point, Todd.
It's been locked away, closed, shuttered, left in the dark, burned down. The government is now involved in every part of our lives.
What are the seven worst words you can ever hear? Hello, it's the government. We're here to help you. Or is that nine words?
They've taken our money, our jobs, and our freedom. California needs a disruptor. A compassionate disruptor.
That would be his slogan. He's a compassionate disruptor.
I came here with a dream 48 years ago to be the greatest athlete in the world.
One wonders if he'll be returning that gold medal as he was not competing in the right category.
Now I enter a different kind of race, arguably my most important one yet, to save California.
Boom! Hold on. That is powerful rhetoric for conservatives, isn't it? That is singing off of the conservative song sheet, note by note. Hold on. This is going to make it even more of a struggle for Christians who thought, well, I think I can do this.
I want to carry the torch for the parents who had to balance work and their child's education, for business owners who were forced to shut down, for pastors who were not able to be with their congregation.
Hold it right there! Check! 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 He is knocking off them boxes, and one of them was spoken directly to. If John MacArthur wasn't in mind, I'd be shocked. But for any or all of the pastors who are going, we did enough of this, Gavin Newsom. Bruce Jenner just said, well, I'm your man, but, well, it's the 21st century, and that's why we're even talking about this. This suddenly makes things really interesting, because on the other hand, the other guy is like, no, we're going to shut you down, churches. Feeling any sort of internal dissonance yet?
For the family who lost their home in a fire. For an entire generation of students who lost a year of education.
Yeah! Yeah, the COVID thing! That is powerful stuff. That was half of the commercial. It's 2 minutes and 48 seconds long. I think you get the point. A lot of Christians are going to be struggling mightily with this, and so it is important, of course, that we ask some questions. What religion are these candidates? That's a tell. I've never heard Bruce Jenner make any sort of statement that he's a believer of any sort. Besides, I'm kind of glad about that, because that just does nothing but help the LGBTQ movement become more and more normalized, especially the T portion. That somebody like this claims to be a Christian, well, then you've got these LGBTQ Christians, oxymoron, that go, well, see, there it is right there. There. By the way, both sides do that. Hey, look, a celebrity, they're on my side. This will certainly be used for that. There's nothing in his religious history that would indicate that he's anything. What about his politics? Glad you asked. This is according to the Federalist. It's a GOP-friendly platform. He was on the Sean Hannity program for an hour, calling himself fiscally conservative but socially progressive. Think libertarian, in other words. That's what you got right there. That ain't Republican, that's libertarian. Republican used to be also socially conservative, not so much anymore. He has a hardline stance on immigration. Oh, he does? He wants to build the wall? Yeah.
This past year has redefined our career politicians as elitists and the people of California as the warriors, the kings, and the angels. We never take kindly to glass ceilings here. Instead, we shatter them.
There's more than one ceiling that's going to be shattered.
We're the trailblazers, the innovators. California is facing big hurdles. Now we need leaders who are unafraid to lead to new heights. Who are unafraid to challenge and to change the status quo.
And he goes after immigration, basically endorsing most of Trump's policies on immigration. Furthermore, Jenner described himself as pro-law enforcement, pro-border protection, and pro-ICE, saying that he would, quote, go tough on rioting, using as many forces as I could possibly use to quell social unrest. So your champion in California for dealing with the danger that you experience in the streets of your cities is a man who believes he's a woman. By the way, the DSM-5 has recently, as of 2 months, changed the diagnosis on what this issue actually is. Back in the days of Corporal Klinger, it used to be that this was considered a mental illness. Now it is not. The Foundational Professional Guideline, this is the DSM, the Foundational Professional Guideline for Working with Gender-Diverse Persons acknowledges that, quote, psychologists understand that gender is a non-binary construct. Bada boom, bada bing, change the definition, and everything is normal now. Psychologists understand gender is a non-binary construct that allows for a range of gender identities and that a person's gender identity may not align with sex assigned at birth. Well, isn't that something? So all those people, as about 60 days ago, they were all idiots. They were not on the right side of history. Now we understand there's more than two genders. which is anti-science, by the way. Bruce Jenner praised Trump, describing him as a disruptor, but noted he didn't agree with everything he did while in office, but said he found President Biden scary. Quote, I don't think I've agreed with anything that he's done. I'd join him in that. Was very disappointed when Trump revoked an Obama directive meant to protect transgender students' bathroom choice. Well, now we know where Bruce would stand on kids using showers and bathrooms. You know, whatever you want to, because that's what you think you are. Jenner renounced support for the former president in 2018, writing in the Washington Post that Trump's election was a fertile ground for change within the Republican Party on LGBTQ issues, but turned out to be wrong because the reality is that the trans community is being relentlessly attacked by Donald Trump. Well, you've got that too now, don't you? Which is why the weighing of the issues becomes so interesting, doesn't it? On the Ellen DeGeneres show, calling himself a traditionalist who was at first against same-sex marriage but was now okay with it. 2 years later, ABC News, he described himself as 100% behind same-sex marriage. So now you've got a guy who wants to build a wall, redefine marriage. You've got a guy that wants police to be able to crack down on criminals and promoting boys using the girls' bathroom. And the alternative is those are the policies of one Bruce Jenner. As we work through this, and I suspect increasingly everybody will be. It's not terrible, Tish Raiden. It's pretty decent table talk because it forces us to use our Bibles. But I do think that we better get ready for a 1 Corinthians 8 through 10 moment. You're just going to have different Christians seeing this thing differently. If my experience with my pals is any indication, you're going to have good Christians not voting, writing in candidates, voting for Bruce, or moving to New Zealand, which actually is a growing trend these days. Let's make sure as we work through this, unless we've got explicit biblical support for this versus that, that we continue to love each other even as we wrangle through this mess. This is Wretched Radio. What does a young lady experiencing a crisis pregnancy sound like?
I was afraid. I was scared. I didn't know what to do. Everybody wanted me to have an abortion.
Everybody wanted her to have an abortion, but she visited a preborn life center, saw a free ultrasound of her baby.
I'm going to keep my baby, and I'm going to be a great mom.
80% of the time, a woman in crisis sees an image of her child via a free ultrasound at a preborn center, they choose life. How many lives could you save per month? The answer is double. During the month of May, Preborn has received a generous gift of matching grants. Every dollar you give to Preborn will be matched. So $28 for an ultrasound will now provide two ultrasounds. How many lives could you save? Visit preborn.org/wretched.
Sometimes you gotta give the devil his due. He's good at what he does. He's been a murderer from the beginning. His MO has not changed in 6,000 years. He is a deceiver. But you know what? Jesus is much better at what he does, which is truth-telling and life-giving. If you've ever found yourself deceived by Satan, listen, you don't have to remain there. Biblical counseling can help you learn to use the Bible to diagnose and work through your issues the way God intended. And our newest resource, Drive by Biblical Counseling 3, could be the answer you've been looking for. It's a 63-lecture series that biblically tackles issues like abuse, self-harm, addictions, bullying, and suicide. If this is your first exposure to biblical counseling, get ready to be staggered by the Bible's ability to guide your life in every aspect. Grab your copy of Drive by Biblical Counseling 3 today at wretched.org/counseling3. That's wretched.org/counseling3.
Yes, you want to save money because after all, you're a Christian and that's what we want to do, save money, but never at the expense of our families' health. and peace of mind should a family member fall ill. That is why I'd like to commend you, MediShare, the gold standard of healthcare sharing. You will save, on average, $500 per month as a family. How much will you save? It takes 2 minutes. 844-34-BIBLE. And if you think, well, this isn't very good, you get free telehealth services with MediShare, a huge network of doctors with MediShare, and great customer support. And fellow Christians will pray for you. MediShare, 400,000 members strong. Peace of mind and savings. Simply call 844-34-BIBLE, 844-34-BIBLE.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who He is and what He has done. Jesus is called God and Savior. If Jesus were only human, His death could not have paid our debt. But Jesus is both man and God, able to represent us, yet able to bear the wrath of the Father. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Now we're talking here. This is Wretched Radio. We live in an era of soft speech, delicate phrases to make sure that we don't offend anyone. And whilst you and I as Christians need to be wise as serpents, meaning we're not slithering snakes, but that we understand the culture that we live in, we don't ever want to even come close to adjusting our message. But we do want to be mindful of customs, the way people speak, because we don't want to unnecessarily annoy somebody. And so it is, we should be mindful that we live in a culture where using straightforward language to say somebody is wrong is not well received. Does that mean we should stop telling them they're wrong? No. Should we be smart about how we present it without watering it down? Yes. Yes, we should. Unfortunately, what we see so much these days is conversation that has become very socially acceptable, even in Christian circles, when the words should sometimes be more, well, dare I say, harsh? There were times when Jesus spoke very forthrightly. It was a punch in the nose of the Pharisees. He did not mince words. That was not always the way that He spoke. He is gentle. He is lowly. But there are times when some subjects require a straightforward word. And I've been pondering this more lately because of a presentation that I listened to from a guy I hadn't heard of before, Finney, I hope I say it right, Karuvilla. He was preaching on the issue of life, and he was encouraging people to perhaps stop watering down the language. Let's call abortion what it is. It is a grotesque genocide. It is a wicked activity. It is an abominable sin, and a nation that not only practices it, but also gives it a stamp of approval from the highest authorities in the land, that's a nation that is behaving wickedly. But we don't talk much like that anymore. And I think we would do well, without being ridiculous and fantastic and unnecessarily provocative in the worst sense of that word, we need to be calling this what it is. Speaking of that presentation, I'm going to share a snippet from you that was rather powerful, and maybe, just maybe, this will encourage you to remember what it is that we're dealing with when we're talking about the life issue, and maybe not fall into our contemporary trap of being soft and sensitive about what this is. This is from that speech from Finney talking about the life issue. Yeah, well, this is basically, if you will, a letter from a baby in the womb to mom. Oh, boy.
Month one. Mommy, I am only 8 inches long, but I have all my organs. I love the sound of your voice every time I hear it. I wave my arms and legs. The sound of your heartbeat is my favorite lullaby. Month two. Mommy, today I learned how to suck my thumb. If you could see me, you could definitely tell that I am a baby. I'm not big enough to survive outside my home, though. It's so nice and warm in here. Month 3. You know what, Mommy? I'm a girl. I hope that makes you happy. I want you to always be happy. I don't like it when you cry. You sound so sad. It makes me sad, too, and I cry with you, even though you can't hear me. Month 4. Mommy, my hair is starting to grow. It is very short and fine, but I will have a lot of it. I spend a lot of my time exercising. I can turn my head and curl my fingers and toes and stretch my arms and legs. I am becoming quite good at it, too. Month 5. You went to the doctor today. Mommy, he lied to you. He said that I'm not a baby. I am a baby, Mommy. You're a baby. I think and feel. Mommy, what's abortion? Month 6. I can hear that doctor again. I don't like him. He seems cold and heartless. Something is intruding in my home. The doctor called it a needle. Mommy, what is it? It burns. Please make him stop. I can't get away from it. Mommy, help me. Month 7. Mommy, I am okay. I am in Jesus' arms. He is holding me. He told me about abortion. Why didn't you want me, Mommy?
Perhaps a needed reminder. The subject of abortion can be sanitized by the name alone. This is the dismembering of a whole innocent human being in the womb of its mother. Maybe we all need to examine how we're speaking about this issue to remind the world of its wicked behavior. And might I suggest, too, that there are some times when we need to be talking a little bit more forthrightly about labeling a sin. And so it is in the Southern Baptist Convention. They are going to be wrestling with the subject of role of women in the church. This was something that was resolved decades ago in the SBC with the conservative takeover. It was codified, I believe the year was 2000. The Baptist Faith and Message Statement, I think that's what it's called, where they articulated the office of elder is restricted to men only. But now, thanks to Saddleback Church, Rick Warren's mega center in Orange County, the issue is going to be debated. And it's going to be brought up almost certainly at the SBC convention in about a month. And if a conversation begins, if the leadership of the SBC says, well, then here's what we'll do. We'll just have a conversation. We're going to have a meeting. We're going to form a committee. Look out, SBC, you're in trouble. And maybe, just maybe, you need to be talking more like Owen Stram, a Southern Baptist, who responded to this news by addressing the people who attend Saddleback Church. If you're in that church, run. Get out. It's not a church. It doesn't meet the basic bare minimum standard. It is being led sinfully in an ongoing, unrepentant, well, even brazen way. Get out. Okay, I think I know where he stands on that. That's the type of language in these situations that is almost required for the day while watching the line of not being acerbic and obnoxious. I do believe that there is a way to speak forcefully without crossing the line into the land of Jerkville. Jesus did it. Paul did it. We need to find that line because I think right now we're just way away from where we should be with any sort of addressing of issues in a firm biblical manner. By the way, you should know Al Mohler has spoken out on it. He has not been unclear on this subject. The Southern Baptist Convention must not be unclear, he said, about our theological convictions and the ground of our cooperation. We cannot afford to be. Attempts to deny the issue will not work. That is a fact. They're going to have to deal with it. He wrote another editorial. It might have been taken from his podcast. But he was talking about the start of a bad movement. It's just that little, okay, we're just going to have a conversation. No, that's not what happens. It just grows and it grows and it grows and it grows. And it's not just the SBC, by the way. Most Christian and Missionary Alliance leaders say qualified women should get pastor title too. CMA is an interesting evangelical, certainly orthodox denomination. There's some good brothers and sisters in the Christian and Missionary Alliance. There's also a branch in Canada, which is even increasingly putting women in the role of elders. I don't think it's been voted on a national level in Canada, but it's on the way. This is the way the slope always slips. Don't we have enough testimony from the Methodists, the Lutherans, liberal Presbyterians? It just keeps slip sliding away. And the CMA in America is starting to deal with the same thing, where the majority of the pastors polled said, let's start calling women in ministry pastors. And they might think, well, that's just not that big of a, it's just a title. Furthermore, they're doing some work that the pastor does. Form and function need to be considered here. If you're doing the work of a pastor, let's just say by preaching, then you're usurping the role of pastor. Well, doesn't that mean that women can't teach? Of course women can teach, as long as it's not usurping the role of pastor. And by giving the title, it gives entrance into the entire realm of duties of an elder of a church. This is just another way for liberalism to creep its way in. Might I encourage us all? Let's not fall in the opposite ditch that we appear to be flailing around in of soft speech. Let's not whiplash into becoming obnoxious with talking to and about people. We still do it in love, but we must be speaking the truth more. Lives depend on it. Eternities depend on it. If we're confused about how we should go about speaking truth and love, let's study our master who did it right every single time. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.